Well, good evening. It's me again. I think it's an honor to stand here in front of you, though. I don't know how I got into this. I was sitting back there in my usual seat, the last chair on the last row by the door, and now I'm up here. I don't know. It doesn't quite. But it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to stand here. And if there's any visitors here tonight, be sure you come back and visit it when our pastor's here and you get the full deal of what we have to offer here. You know, every day in our normal everyday lives, we put our faith and our confidence in things that are normal everyday deals. You think when you get up in the morning, you flip on the light switch, the light's going to come on, provided you pay the bill. And you get those, if you had any of those trucks or vehicles like I've had down through the years, it's a little prayer to get them to start in the morning, you know, and you don't know whether it's going to or not, or you hope that the pharmacist gives you the right prescription, or you go into a building and all the elevators work like they're supposed to, and the architects has done it. So we put our faith in everything that we do. We put our confidence in everything we do. I've been in some of those elevators where it jumps, and then you think, uh-oh, it ain't going to make it. And it takes forever to get from one floor to the next. So that's something we do. But we put our faith in stuff every day, our confidence in stuff every day. And we do that in the spiritual realm also. Regardless of our education, our background, or our social status, or whatever, we express faith in some kind of way. The difference between the faith that we use in our everyday life and the faith that we use in our religious life is who we put our faith in. You know, the religious people, the Muslims, they put their faith in the Quran and Muhammad. The human people, they put their faith in themselves. Followers of religion, they put their faith in their own good works. And none of these can save them. None of these other things can save them. Your faith is only as good as the object in which you put your faith in. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under the heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have your faith in him, you kind of run in a rat race. Hebrews chapter 11, that's the faith chapter. In that chapter, it 23 times in 40 verses, it mentions the word faith, the faith chapter. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Definition of what faith is. But what it does, first it involves our future hopes. Faith is the hope of things hoped for, what we put in our future, what God's going to do in our future. In our present day, unseen realities such as forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ, a sacrifice, ever-present intercession for us in heaven. You know, God, when I get up in the mornings, the Lord looks down and says, uh-oh, my day just got tougher. Jim Sternman's fixing to get out of bed. So I've got to do all I can to try to keep him straight and keep him on the right. And it's a full-time job. I don't see how he has time for any of y'all. But he's God. He's got time for everybody. Faith is necessary, for it underlies both our future hope and our present spiritual blessings. Anytime you step out in faith or you try something new, there's a voice inside you that's going to say, and I've heard every one of these voices. In fact, I've talked to myself and I've tried to talk myself out of stuff. You're going to step out and you'll hear that small voice whisper, you must be out of your mind. You're not capable of this. Those little accomplishments that you had before, that was just dumb luck. You were lucky. You happened to be at the right place at the right time. You're in over your head. And I've heard those voices. And I've even tried to convince myself of that. When God called me to the truck stop ministry, there was a battle with God for months about going. I said, no, Lord, you got the wrong guy for this. This is not me. You got the wrong guy. Oh, yeah, but I do. You wake up in the middle of the night and it makes you sick at your stomach. You hear it everywhere you go. But the voice, it's the voice of fear. And fear don't play fair. Fear don't play fair at all. It pulls out all the files of your past failures and things that you've tried and failed upon, and it preys on your deepest insecurities. But there's another voice that we have to listen to, and that's the voice of God. Amen. You hear that still, small voice in the back of your head telling you, Isaiah 40:10 says, fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Boy, I believe God does that to me every single time I go somewhere. Everything I do, he's there. He's got his hand on me. He's holding me up. I was at a funeral Monday, and it was for a firefighter's wife who had died of cancer at a young age of 52. And after the services, we were out in the parking lot, and there was a young EMT technician out there just having a hard time. That this lady that was such an influence in his life had passed away, and he was having a hard time, and I just walked up and said something to him, and the next thing I know, he's bear hugging me. He's apologizing for crying. He's apologizing for what he's doing. No, son, don't apologize. Those things that you feel, you'll always have her with you. And while he was doing that, I was saying, Lord, don't let me say something stupid. Help me to comfort this young man and help him through his time right now. When you turn into God's voice, it doesn't mean that all your problems will be over with. The Bible tells us that in this day and time, we'll have problems throughout our lives. We'll have those things that come up, and the other voices won't go away. There'll be always. It's more like when you're having a conversation with God and you're one-on-one with him, it's kind of like having a conversation having a conversation with a friend of mine in a crowded area. There's a lot of people talking, and you're so intense on your friend that you only hear what they hear. You only hear what they're saying, and that's the conversation you have with God. And even though I've got tendonitis, and sometimes I don't hear so good, I can still have to listen hard for the voice of God. And we get so wrapped up in things that we do that we forget. Sometimes God is talking to you and you don't hear because you're wrapped up in things. Whether he speaks to you through the scriptures, whether he speaks to you through a friend or a situation in your life that he goes to, he's always in communication with you. He wants to be always. Amen. We just have to listen. His promise to you is, your ears will hear a voice saying, this is the way to walk. This is what to do. And a lot of times, you know, you're trying to make a decision on something and you don't know what to do. You think you've run out of solutions. Listen to God. Follow what God tells you to do. One word from God, just one word, can change your entire life. To be successful at anything God calls you to do, you must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, for many years, all of us sat under Brother Larry, and he sat here, and there was times when I could actually see him having a conversation with the Holy Spirit up here on this platform. You know, and all of a sudden he would say, the Holy Spirit told me to quit, and that was it. But you could almost see him talking with the Holy Spirit while he was up here giving his message and stuff. When the pressure is on and you're tempted to move too quickly, and you hear that voice saying in Isaiah, "For you shall not go out with haste, nor by flight, for the Lord your God will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward." Sometimes we try to do things on our own. We try to do things that you know, I can do this, I can get this, no problem, I don't need any help. But you find out that you wind up messing it up more than what if you would just follow God. God's got you covered, front and back, whatever you do. Wherever you go, he's got you. And the more I'm involved in ministry, the more I'm involved with different things, God's got my back. Because, boy, if I left it up to me, I'd make a mess out of stuff that you wouldn't believe. When you're about to make the wrong turn or make the wrong decision, he'll remind you. Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart divides his way, but the Lord directs his steps." You know, I'd have never thought that I would be doing what I'm doing at the truck stop. I never even thought I'd be doing this. But God has his way of doing things. He has his way of directing you. He has his way of bringing you out of your shell to where you can. Now, that doesn't mean that right now my knees are not jumping. They're about to. If you think you hear snakes, well, that's just my knees. But God will pull you and make you do things and have you do things that's when you think you can't get the job done, you run out of answers. Listen to God's voice. Listen to what he said telling you. Just stop and listen to his voice. Listen to what, slow down. The Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." Listen to God's voice. He'll instruct you. He'll satisfy your soul. He'll strengthen your bones. He'll make you like a watered garden. And things that he takes you through, when you just follow him, you think, "Well, I can't do that. I can't. No, not me." But God gives you the strength when you listen to him, when he listen to what he's telling you, and he puts that boldness in you. You can do what he's not going to say, "Okay, I want you to do this and this and this," and then turn his back on you. And you have to figure it out for yourself. "I want you to do this. I want you to do this. And here's how I'm going to help you. Here's how I will help you get that done." Hearing God's voice may mean that you have to sacrifice lesser things and turn away from the other voices. You know, absolutely nothing is more important than learning to recognize God's voice. You know, we hear so much other stuff. Listen to his voice when he's speaking to you. He can bring you through situations you think you won't survive, or you think you'll be stuck in forever. If you listen to him, he'll make you feel comfortable in the most uncomfortable places. He'll give you peace in the midst of your trouble. I know in my life there's a lot of times when I'm troubled about a lot of things, and I go to God and I think, "Well, I'm just not going to make it this." In 2008, when the economy went down and they're losing their businesses, they were losing their homes, they were losing everything. The truckers over there were losing their trucks, and my business was going down, and I thought, "I ain't going to survive this." And my wife come to me and said, "I can't work anymore. I've got this affliction, and I can't work. It's too hard for me." And my first thought was, "I didn't sign up for this." But I forgot one thing. I forgot the most important person that I serve. And I got on my knees, and night after night I would lay awake and think about this and be troubled and have, you know, just ain't going to do it. And I got on my knees one night and I said, "Lord, this is yours. I can't can't do it anymore. I can't. And a peace came over me. A peace that's still here today, that God's going to take. I'm not going to presume on him too much, but he's going to take care of me. He's going to have my back. He's going to make me feel comfortable. Before your life is over, you'll live, love, and you'll lose things. Sometimes you lose things that, when you lose something, it'll help you appreciate the things that you've got. And sometimes it makes success feel even better when you've lost something. You'll live each day not knowing what tomorrow will hold, but be confident. God has your plan, your tomorrow planned out. And your life is not in the hands of other people. Your life is not even in your own hands to mess it up. Your life is in God's hands. His promises to you, and I will bring the blind in a way they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make the darkness light before them and the crooked things straight. These things I will do unto them and not forsake them. Boy, that's what I live by. The Bible says, Jesus says, I will not leave you or forsake you. I live on that day after day after day, that he won't leave me, and he hasn't. And if there's anybody in this building that God has a right to turn his back on, you're looking at him. I've done things, been places, said things. There's a song that the West Brothers has out that, does God still feel the nails when I do wrong? Does he still feel the nails when I let him down? Does he still remember those things that I done? But he went to the cross for me before I was ever thought about in this world. As you look back, you'll realize that his grace protected you. His grace provided for you. His grace secured you. It calmed you. It comforted you and brought you through the things that you had done, the things that you're going through. God just has a way about doing things that is so good, so peaceful. And I don't see how the rest of the world gets by without knowing the God that I know. I don't see how they can make it. I see people every day that we live in such a fast society right now that everything is 100 miles an hour. The other morning I was going to work and a guy passed me on the little road that I live on in a no passing zone, passed me like I was going backwards. And when I got 2 miles down the road at the stoplight, he was sitting there waiting for the light to change. There he was. Why, you're putting yourself, and all of you see it every day. People pull out in front of you. They won't wait. Stoplight don't mean nothing. Stop signs don't mean nothing. Red lights don't mean nothing. They go through them all the time. You put their own life plus your life just to get in danger, just to get somewhere 2 seconds early. But think about it. There's a possibility that you won't get there at all because of silly things that you've done. Times and seasons change, but God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He'll be the same. So listen to God's voice. If God's asking you to do something, he's asking you to walk out into deeper waters. He's asking you to get out of the shallow end of the pool. Step out in faith. All of us is doing it sometime. There's a little boy that his dad had him in the swimming pool. And as long as he was in his dad's arms, he was all right. But his dad began to joke around with him and walk deeper and deeper into the deeper water. And the little boy became more frightened as the water rose and he got deeper and deeper. as the water got higher and higher, the child, he began to get real excited about it. You know, he would have drowned regardless. But the little boy was unable to analyze what his father was doing. His father was still walking on the bottom of the pool. He was great. You know, as long as that little boy, the further his father went out, the more the little boy held on to his father, not knowing that he was on the bottom. And the more God calls us out into the deep end of the pool, the more we hang on to him, the more it's going to be all right. We're going to get through that. At various points in our lives, we'll feel we're getting out of the water. But God, out in the deep end of the water, but God is never, ever out of the deep end. He's always got us. Temptation will tell us, and you know, to panic, and we feel we've lost control, as the child did in the pool. But we haven't lost control. God's got control. Maybe I think I've lost control of my life, but God has it in his hand. We've always been held up by the grace, by God's grace. Even when I go back, way back into the years of combat, God had his hand on me. God was there. When I'm the only survivor out of 13, God was there. And I thank him every day for him being there. Though that question crosses my mind almost every day, why? Why me? Why not somebody? But God had a plan. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for anything, everything that you do. Perhaps God wants you to move out into deeper water. Perhaps he wants you to step out in faith. He wants you to do something that you're not accustomed to doing. Or you're having to make a decision in your life and you're afraid to do it. You know, everybody asks, will you do this? Will you do that? I said, let me pray about it first. Let me see what God says. Let me pray, and then I'll give you an answer, yes or no. You know, I should have done that with Pastor the other day.
That wasn't the right answer.
Huh?
No, it wasn't the right answer.
It's that faith that will give you the confidence and the conviction to worship God. And you say, well, preacher, where does all this start? Where does all this joy and peace that you're talking about and everything, it starts at the cross. If you haven't been to the cross to meet Jesus, it starts there. That's where everything begins to come to fruition. You'll have the confidence to worship God faithfully and be able as walk with those men of old that had faith in God. You'd be able to do the things. You know, Noah, they said, build an ark. Well, it ain't rained in forever. But by faith, Noah done it. And all those men in chapter 11 of Hebrews, by faith, this one done that. By faith, that one done this. By faith. So, listen to God's voice. Listen to what he's asking you to do. Listen to what he's telling you to do. And you're going to hear other voices say, oh, no, I got a better plan for you. I've got something better for you to do. Listen to God. Listen to what he has to say about your life. Put your life in his hands. Every head bowed and every eye closed.